You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Hey, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here, and we live stream our second gathering. Would you give it up for those watching online today? And thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad you're here. And my wife is, we're celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary this week. And people ask, like, why is she in church today? Well, she's at the other campus. We just got home from Mexico. She wanted to stay, but I brought her back. In fact, I texted a picture to the staff one day during staff meeting, like, hey, guys, I'm praying for you. And they thought I was praying upon them. And they showed us on the beach. And then Rob Koenig, our Canadian pastor. Aiken, what I call him? Rob Koenig's a friend I bike with. But Rob Aiken, who preached, often, you know Rob, he's our Canadian, we have a diversity thing here. And so Rob texts me back and says, Mark, is that your tour guide? Because there I was with white hair, white face, with red hair. Never mind. I looked like a tomato one day. You know, ever been out, anyone here have real pale skin? You get outside in the sun and you burn and peel. And the people around you just tan and look great. My name's Mark. And again, we have life groups. If you haven't signed up for a life group, I do want to encourage you. That's kind of the path for spiritual formation here. We believe there's value in learning in rows like this on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night gathering. But there's value when you unpack that in a smaller group of folks. And so I'm in two life groups. We have one that meets today. We have a fat tire bike life group. And we have free bike rentals at Beaver Sports. If you're interested in a fat tire bike life group, let us know. Sign up on there. And then I'm a part of a life group where I said, what do you guys want? What do you want to learn? They said, we want to learn the book of Revelation. So I've been watching the book. I've been watching CNN and reading the book of Revelation, cross-referencing. We're in a mess. No, I'm not going to use CNN. I'm going to use the Bible. But hey, that'll be a fun group I'm with, and it's full, unfortunately. Next week, we're gonna finish a series today called First. We've been talking about priorities and how to prioritize your time and your resources and your heart and all that. Next week, though, we're gonna start a series that kind of the heartbeat of missions. Three of our core values. We have seven core values, but one is we're a church for our city, a church for Alaska, and a global church, and we've actually got some new banners come, and we rephrase that. We're a church that has a heart for global missions. And so we're going to talk about our heart for our city, our state, and the globe, and kind of unpack a biblical worldview for why have a Great Commission mindset? Why is missions important? Why is being a part of connecting with people around the globe? And so we'll talk about that next couple weeks, and got an incredible magazine to pass out next week with all of our missionaries and who we support and all the go trips the next 2 years, all the trips we're going to take on to go overseas to build buildings or to be involved in outreaches that'll be available next week when you come. We're super excited about just letting you know what's going on the next several years when it comes to getting outside the buildings, the walls of a building. We're in this series called First. We're going to kind of put tie it all together today, kind of put the cherry on the top. And the theme, again, is First. And the verse we've been looking at the last month is this. In Psalms, it says, teach us to number our days aright. And this was David's prayer. Teach us to number our days aright. In other words, it's one thing to count your days. It's a whole other thing to make your days count. We have limited time on earth, and we talked about the first week on this whole series is that, when you have unlimited amount of money or unlimited time, you don't always spend it the best. But if you learn how to number your days and back up and look at life, if you number your days right, you realize we don't have the rest of life, so let's make sure we make the days count that we're counting. And then it goes on, it says, that we may gain a heart, say heart, of wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do. And knowing how to do what you do. It's not knowledge, it's the application of knowledge. How do I take what I know and do it? How many want to know there's a gap sometimes between what we know and what we do? How many know that? I mean, look at your kids sometimes. They know they're not supposed to do that, but there's a gap between knowing and doing. But sometimes as adults or as Christ followers, as Jesus people, there's a gap sometimes between what we know we should do and what we do. And so we have to change, so we have to have wisdom. And how many people are complex? How many are married? You realize people are complex. I mean, before I got married, I knew people were complex. When I got married, I realized they're more complex. And my wife's not here, so I can be very vulnerable. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But I can tell you right now, people are complex, but I want to show you just for a brief moment how you can probably identify. There's two things you can do for me, look into my life and look at two things, and you can know a lot about me. And I can look in the two things in your life and know a whole lot about you. Doesn't matter how complex or how different each of us are in this room. That if I looked at how you spend your time and how you spent your money, I could tell you a lot about what your priorities are in this world. If you looked at this last year, we live on a hill, and so the last year and a half, I've had to upgrade all my tires to BlizzX. Why? Because I value not having to pull my wife or daughters out of ditches. I prioritize that because they're not here, so I can say that. But if you looked in my garage and you walked into my garage and opened up my garage, you go, well, man, Mark must have stock in Trek. He's got a road bike and he's got a mountain bike and he's got a fat tire bike and he's got a whole garage full of tools for a bike. He must value bike. I do. If you want to ride bikes with me, let me know. But if I looked into your world and saw what you spent your time on and where you spent your money on, I did the math this the other day for this, getting ready for this. This next year, because we're in a generosity initiative, we're going to build a new building on College Road, and we're going to come out of the ground this spring with that. We're great, long ways along the path with architects and engineers and all those things, and we're going to build a place with more space. But because of that, I could take my daughter sometime to my checkbook, and you might say, some of you like, what's a checkbook? It's that little square. Some of us know what it is. If I download the bank statements this next year, my wife and I did the math, and I realized that you could tell my priorities. 31% of Mark and Heidi's wife's income this next year is going toward a building project. Now, that just shows priority, though. You could tell a lot about someone with how they spend their time and how they spend their money. On that time thing, hey guys, we can help you plan a really good date this Friday night. We have a date night, show up at 6:00. The cafe will be open at 5:30. Come, we'll help you plan it. There'll be an event here, and then we'll send you out to go eat somewhere, and you'll come back, and Heidi and I are gonna sit here and talk about some of the craziest fights we've ever been in. You're gonna laugh at us, and we're gonna go home and have fun. Priorities, what's important. And so today I want to talk about, last week we talked about time. The week before we talked about the order's important and to hit on time a little bit. Today we're going to talk about resources, finances. You might be going, oh, great, I came to church. And maybe you're guessing, you're thinking, like the one time I came to church, pastor's going to talk about money. What does he want from me? I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. And so today, don't think I am trying to get anything from you. I want to help. I think one of the greatest gifts you can have is to know how to order your time and your resources to become all God has for you. See, God doesn't want, how many want to know God doesn't want or need your stuff or your money? God's not in heaven going, oh great, there's an economic challenge worse than the United States government right now. And how am I going to fix it? They better preach on money at church. No, God doesn't need or want your stuff. God wants your heart. Say heart. It's a heart issue. And so I'm going to talk about the heart today. I want to drill down a little bit. In Genesis chapter 4, it's kind of the launching pad for our conversation. But in Genesis 4, Adam and Eve had two sons. And it was an agrarian culture. We'll see this. Now Abel kept flocks. He was a shepherd. He had flocks. And Cain worked the soil. So he was a farmer. He was a crop farmer. You have a crop farmer, you have a shepherd over here. And they each were agrarian. Agriculture was their base. And in the course of time, Now, we don't know how much time, but in the course of time, Cain brought some, say some, it's a big word. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the first of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel, say but. Now, whenever there's a but, there's a conjunction, junction, what's your function? He's trying to show that this is one guy and in contrast to this guy. And so there's Cain who worked over the course of time, brought some of the fruits of the soil, but Abel, in contrast to Cain, but Abel brought the fat portions. You might like, what does that mean? What are the fat? Well, it means he brought a sacrifice. He brought some of the fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offerings, he did not look with favor. And I remember wrestling through this. I remember in Bible college, someone in Old Testament survey said, so help me understand what happened here. And the professor thought he was funny. And I remember what he said. He said, Cain tried, but he wasn't able. We thought like, okay, I'm not sure that was funny, but hey. And we can unpack it all we want, but here's what I think is the difference. I think the difference is this. Cain, in the course of some time, brought some of the fruits. So Cain, in the course of time, brought some of the fruits, but Abel brought portions from some of the firstborn. Now, there's a Grand Canyon of a difference between taking the firstborn where you're not promised the secondborn, and you take the firstborn and you sacrifice the firstborn, then bringing over a course of time some of the fruit. There's a difference between first fruits and some fruits. Cain brought some of the fruit, but Abel brought fruit from the first. And if the order is important, there's something we can learn, and here's the deal. God wants to know where he ranks in our life. That's the story here. God wants to know, hey, are you like Cain, who's gonna bring some of the, over course of time, some of the fruit, or are you like Abel, who's going to honor me with the first of your firstborn? It's the order, it's the heart, it's the heart. It's where does he rank? It's not what I do. It's when I do what I do. Is he first? Yeah, Cain brought sacrifice, and he can go, God, I brought you some sacrifices, and God goes, yeah, but it wasn't the first. It was some of, but it wasn't like your brother who brought the firstborn. He brought me the first of what he had. Where does it fit in the? And so today I'm not talking about the amount, but rather the order. The order is important. So let's unpack this a little bit. Three biblical truths on first fruits, on offering him the first of our firstborn, the first fruits. Number one, God must be first. Say first. It's not God is insecure for being second, and he wants to be on the podium over in Beijing and stand on the gold medal stand. It's not that type of order. He wants to be number one in your life. Not number one just in an event in the Olympics. He wants to be number one. And this theme runs through the entire Bible, from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, into the New Testament, in the New Covenant. We see the Ten Commandments. It starts out, the Ten Commandments. God's led his people out of bondage. They're at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to write, and God chisels with his fingertips into stone tablets the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment says, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other what? God's what? Before me. I want to be number one. What's the context here? The context is Israel has been delivered from bondage. They were Egyptian slaves. They were serving under the Pharaoh for the time. They spent 400 years in bondage, and God used a man named Moses to lead God's people out of bondage. But that was a pantheistic, polytheistic God, multiple gods they worship. And so God gets them out of Egypt, and God wants to get Egypt out of them. God's delivered them, but he says, hey, you came from a culture with lots of other gods. In fact, in Deuteronomy, it says this. Deuteronomy is the second law. Exodus, we find the first law. Second law unpacks the Ten Commandments into greater. He says, this is the parallel verse to what we just read. But in Deuteronomy, it says, do not follow other gods. What's that say? With a little what? Little g. Don't follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. But the Lord your God, what's that? Big G. Is among you is a jealous God. In other words, I don't want anyone else to take first place in your life. Now, this is what God's done for us. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? You and me. So for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, his firstborn son. He gave us his firstborn as a sacrificial death so that what? So we could then give him first place. This Tuesday, February 8th, my wife and I, 25th wedding anniversary. I can tell you, I remember when my father-in-law, Joe Refugio Jose Franco, led my wife down the altar to the front, and she was the BMW that day, my beautiful Mexican wife. Aztec warrior princess. And I was sweating. I was scared to death. Like, can I seal this up before she realizes I'm not what she thinks I am? Any guys know what I'm talking about? I got a much better deal than she got. I got her and she got me. If any men in here understand that, you can just say a silent amen. I mean, I tell people I'm smarter than my wife because I married her and she married me. That makes me smarter than her. I'm not talking to cognitively smarter. I got a better deal than she got. But I remember when she comes to the platform and we're sitting, I don't remember. I think the guy's on this side and she's on this side. And I'm going to tell you how I remember the vows going, okay? She's not here to defend herself, so it's fair. But I remember her saying in the vows, you're the most attractive man I've ever laid my eyes on. You're the zig in my zag. You're better than homemade tortillas. You offer me more than Amazon can offer me. I know Amazon wasn't there at that time, but my wife was prophetic. She could see ahead 25 years, okay? And she said, I will love, honor, submit, obey, serve, clean up after you till death do us part. Now, that's what I remember. Is that what happened? Probably not. But what she was really saying in front of all the witnesses that day, and we got married in Portland, and we youth pastor in Tacoma, they brought two buses of kids down. There's 100 teenagers in the back waiting for the guy to say, you may kiss the bride, and they stood up and cheered, and it was kind of crazy. And so, you know, I'm there, and what she was saying is out of 3.5 billion men on planet Earth, I'm choosing you as the number one man in my life. Now, how many of you that day, it would have gone different if we got to the vows, and I said, well, honey, that's great. There's 3.5 billion women in planet Earth, and you're making me number one, but I kind of want a little freedom over here to make up my, give me 25 years to figure out if it's gonna work. I'll make you number one sometime, but you're number two today. Now, how many of you think that day, it would have gone different that day. I can tell you what would have happened if I'd have said, out of everyone, you're number two. There would have been a pile of brown hair, because it used to be brown. There'd have been a pile of brown hair. There'd been eyeballs and teeth on that platform because my wife would have gone back to her Mayan or Aztec. You know, I'd have been a human sacrifice. Okay, and I can tell you that would because she was making a commitment to me. But what happens if she makes a commitment to me and I don't make a commitment back to her? God wants to be first. He told the Israelites, love the Lord your God with all your, and in other words, make me number one. The order is important. He's done everything. He loves us so much, he gave his own son for us. The question is, are we going to make him and give him the same commitment he gave us? That's the picture here. Cain gave some. Abel gave the first. The order is important. Number two, we put God first by giving him the first of everything. Say everything. We give him the first of everything. First reveals priorities. That's why at True North, we have the rhythm of the first of the year. We honor him with a week of prayer and fasting. Hopefully that prayer and fasting, you take it as a habit, continually make it something that's part of your life. But hopefully we want to honor him the first of our year. We want to honor him the first day of the week. That's why we attend church on Sunday. That's why we have, God has given you a day to make sure I reprioritize. It's not to get entertained or sing songs or feel God. It's because, God, I'm making a commitment to tell my family that you are number one. And then the first part of your day, I get up in the morning because it's quiet, and that's when I read my Bible. I've got my Bible app, my YouVersion, and I keep my streak going. But I love what the author of Leviticus said: a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs. Say belongs. Belongs to God because it's holy. A tithe of everything. God's not just doesn't just want your finances. He wants a tithe of everything. He wants your time, your talent, your energy. He wants to be number one. That does trickle down, because guess what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But also, where our treasure is, that's where we value, where we spend our time, our resources. So God's looking at that, and so he wants to know, are you going to give him the first of everything? A tithe means 10%. Now, you might say, well, what's special about 10%? I think it's just an easy thing. No matter what you make, 10% is 10%. It's not the amount. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. But notice it says a tenth of everything. It says from the fruit, the soil, the fruit of the trees belongs to the Lord. It belongs to him, and it's holy. Tithe is 10, everything means everything belongs, mean God owns it. We just return 10% back to him, and it's holy. So let's not do unholy things with what God says is holy. Deuteronomy goes on and says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in first place in your life. God, the reason we tithe is to say, God, I want to reorder and make sure you're first place in my life. I don't want God to think he's second, third, fourth, 12th, 13th as I climb the rings of life and I try, I'm just going to see how I, and God says, I want to make sure you prioritize me. The third truth is the first has the power to bless the rest. Anyone want the rest blessed? If we honor a 10% of, give a tithe of everything. Well, listen, God's telling us if you give a tithe of everything, he'll bless the rest. I don't know about you. I want my 90% blessed. I want what I give to him to be holy, set apart, and give to him. But then that God tells us the first is the power to bless the rest. God obligates himself to bless the first. In Proverbs, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all the crops. Then your barns will be filled. Say then. Again, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Honor him, acknowledge him, give him the first fruits of all your crops. Then, in other words, because you do this, this will happen. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. He's telling us a principle. He's saying, if you do this, this happens. In Malachi chapter 3, it talks about, you know, Malachi's asked a question, will you rob God? And the Israelites say, well, how do we rob you? And he says, well, your tithes and tithes. And he goes, but test me in this, try me. See if you don't tithe, and if I don't open the storehouse of heaven and pour out more blessing than your barns can contain. And then it goes on and says, and he'll renew the years the locusts have stoned. In other words, when you tithe, God blesses. There's a young couple in our church, and you know, we had finished up in November this whole church pasty generosity initiative, take people the next step in their generosity journey, and to relocate to College Road and the new structure we're going to build, And Ethan and Elizabeth, God gave them a number to give that they didn't make, but they knew, okay, we're going to sacrifice, and over 2 years we're going to do this. And so they wrote their first check. It was kind of they tightened their belt a little bit and said, we're going to give what God gave us. It's a sacrifice. He gets called into the boss's office the next week, and they give him a pay raise, the amount of the number that God told him to give over the next 2 years, which was way bigger than he ever thought he could ever give. He goes, so now, Mark, we're having to rethink the whole thing. Like, maybe we didn't give enough. I didn't. But that's how God works. If you honor him and acknowledge him, then there's a blessing. How many want to know there's a blessing? It's all on where you put your priorities, how you allocate your life. And in other words, God wants to know where he ranks in our life. My wife wants to know, when I say I love you and happy anniversary, that I'm recommitting for the next 25 years and there's not other options out there. My wife is my standard of beauty in my life. That's what it means. But when it comes to God, is God sees how, David says, teach me to number my days aright. Give me a heart of wisdom. Let me have wisdom, know how to make my days count and not just count my days. Make me know how to, as I acknowledge you and I honor you with my first fruits, then you're going to bless the rest. But five quick things, as we don't have much more time, five quick things we can do with money. Five quick things. Number one, we can spend it. How many of you guys like spending money? How many of you guys have kids who think there's more than you have bank account for? Money talks. It says, see ya. How many guys have ever had like a $20 bill or $100 bill for like a month or two in your wallet, and then you break it one day, and before you know it, that $100 bill is gone in a week? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, it just talks and says, see ya. Money, you spend it. Number two, you can use it to repay debts. I owe, so off to work I go. Number three, pay taxes. That's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother month probably, right? Like, I feel bad for my kids and my grandkids the way we are printing money right now. Someone's gonna have to pay at some point. We can save or invest it. And then number five, we can give it. And most people in America, here's the deal. We have more debt in America than any other country. We are people who love to live with consumer debt. And most people, this is how the order goes. We spend it, we pay our debts, we pay taxes. If we have any left, we might save or invest, and God gets the leftovers over here. He just gets the leftovers. And that's what most Americans do. That's what most American Christians do. We give God the leftovers. But how many of you guys would feel blessed if you came to my house and I told my wife, honey, I know we were gone the last couple of weeks, but there might be something in the Tupperware dish in the back of our refrigerator. And we got some folks coming over, so let's just scrape off the mold, warm it up, and let's bless our guests. How many of you guys would just like, I want to go to Pastor's house for leftovers? Most of you are like, no. In fact, I have a life group this Thursday night coming over to our house, and I can tell you what's going to happen. They're all going to bring different dishes, we're going to have a little meal, and then they're going to leave all the dessert at my house. Shame on them. They're trying to fatten your pastor up. I don't know what it is about dessert. I like it, and then it likes me. And it likes to hold, never mind. It likes to stick around too long on my body, all right? But here's what I know. I'm going to put leftover. But if I broke out leftovers from my life, they think like, what's Pastor trying to treat? But here's the deal. Some of us give everybody else. We would never think about giving the guests at our house leftovers, but some of us give God our leftovers every month, every week. He's not first. I'd encourage you, as biblical Christians, we flip this the other way. We give first. We save and invest. We pay our taxes. We repay our debts, and then we spend it. And what we need to maybe do is cheat ourselves on the spending, but make sure we don't cheat on God. Because when you cheat on God, you're giving God the leftovers and making sure you have the best for yourself. And that's not how it works. Because here's the deal. If you give God your best at the top, he blesses everything underneath it. Anyone here want to walk with the blessing God has for you? That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to pray over you right now. And my prayer is very simple. I want to pray that God would help us to honor him and acknowledge him with our firsts. That means our finances and our time. And some of us need to reallocate. I want you to ask yourself the question right now. How am I doing in the area of making God first in this area? Because where your treasure is, where your heart is. Where your treasure is, where your heart is. I want to pray over you right now. Lord, I pray that we would make you first. We'd put you number one. And God, we'd honor you with our first fruits. And God, if there's areas in our life we need to recalibrate and back away and reallocate and look at things differently, help us do that, Lord. Help us to live a life that acknowledges you and honors you and puts you as number one in our life, not number two, not as another option. God, you sent your best for us. We want to give you our best in Jesus' name. Let True North be a church that's known for giving you the best. In Jesus' name. And have our ushers come. We're waiting for Lord's tithes and offerings. There's three ways to give at True North. You can give online, which many, in fact, I think 60 to 70% of our church now gives online. And we figured out we can get airline miles and go to Cancun with stuff like that. But they give online. You can give with a check. You can give with a credit card. You can text your giving in. And all that information's on the seat pocket behind you. Really, we receive an offering like this more for those that don't maybe have online giving capacity or really to receive information back from people that fill out guest cards and stuff. If you're here and you prayed with me during communion to say, Lord, I want to make you my Savior, my life leader, and you admitted, confessed, and believed that Jesus was your Lord of life, so today could be the time you proclaimed him as the Lord of your life. We'd like to connect with you. And on the side of your worship guide, there's a place you put your name, email, phone number, check the box. I made a decision to follow Jesus today. And so if you just check that box, if you prayed that prayer with me and just tear this off and drop in the bucket when it goes by in a moment, that would be incredible. There's also a chance if you want to be water baptized. Maybe you've never been water baptized. We'd love to. Maybe it's a new year and you're thinking, I've never been water baptized. I want to take the next step to identify publicly with the world that I made a commitment on the inside of my heart for Jesus. Water baptism is like a wedding ceremony. I wear this ring. This ring doesn't make me married. This ring tells the world I'm married. My commitment, my heart makes me married to my wife, with or without a ring. This ring tells the world, stay away, because I made a commitment to somebody. Her name is Heidi. Water baptism is an outward public symbol of an inward reality that happened. If you've never followed him in water baptism, check that box, water baptism. If you're interested in child dedication, check that box, or one of our prayer teams or MOPs, and we'd love to connect with you. I want to show you, one of our goals this year is to build 5 church buildings around the globe. Churches for people without church, or buildings for people who don't have a building. And I want to show you a picture here. This is a picture of a village outside of Turkana in Kenya. You see the bushes, the trees right there where that truck is. That's where they met for church until we had a chance to build a building. Unless last week it went up. And they met under the bush, which was great. Except for the rainy season, they'd get wet. They'd try to put tarps up, but it was difficult to have church when it's pouring down rain in the rainy season. And sometimes when it's 120 degrees outside, it's difficult. And so they put the roof on, and they're ready for us to come and pour floors and put some walls in sometime. How many think we should go do that someday? But that's one of the church buildings in Kenya that our finances go to. When you give, it goes to touch our city, touch our state, and bless the globe. Last week, they had 39 people in church in Anana, 39 adults. And in a community of less than 300 people, that's a pretty good percentage. So that's one of the fastest growing churches in, I think, North America right now, per capita. So when you give, it impacts people beyond here. And someone has to pay for the fishies the kids downstairs eat. And I don't know how many hundreds of boxes of fishies we have to buy every year. We just plug your kids full of gluten. It's all good. But thanks for your generosity. I want to say again, we're blessed here at True North as you've been so faithful, as so many of you put God first in that area of your life. Let's thank you for the offering. Lord, we thank you for this day. And I pray a blessing over this. Lord, you said when we honor you and acknowledge you with the first fruits, then there's going to be a blessing. So Lord, I pray you would continue to pour out your promises over people who take the next step to honor you and put their finances in the right order. We thank you for that. Help us as a church to be wise stewards of your resources. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.